It's the Friday show. The Friday show. Come on, it's Friday.
Woo! Is that our song?
The Friday before a weekend holiday, festivity, party, extravaganza.
You're just saying words.
I am.
Okay.
But they're all good words.
They are great words.
Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show and the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ-FM. It is a Friday morning. It is 5:53. Kevin and Bean are still on vacation, but I'm here with the lovely and talented Allie McKay.
I heard they were suspended.
Is that the new rumor?
That's the new rumor. They listen, have been suspended.
Everyone, listen. I've been reading tweets that are just insane. They're not going anywhere. The show's not changing. No one's been fired. No one is dead. No one is suspended.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Same vacation every year.
Well, I don't think they've ever taken 2 weeks.
They did last year.
Did they?
Yeah, because it was my first two-week vacation ever.
Regardless, it's just the normal vacation time. They're just off doing stuff, being moved. Kevin's kids are going to college. He's helping them settle in. So, excuse me. So
why are you getting choked up?
Because
they're suspended?
Because they're suspended and dead.
Oh, no.
And the show's changing. it's fine. Folks, just relax. Allie and I are just kind of sitting in here keeping the place warm for their return on Tuesday. So it's all good.
But we are auditioning for our new show on Jack.
Right.
Yes.
That much is true. No, that's not true either. Stop with the silly fantasies. All right. It has been fun, though.
It has.
It's been nice working with you, Allie.
Thanks, Ralph.
What about me, Ralph?
Nope.
Oh, no.
Let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at the showbiz
right
news.
Here.
Oh, you can add another celebrity name to that long list of stars who have suffered the agony of exhaustion. Rita Ora, the lovely actress and singer from the UK. She wound up in an emergency room on Wednesday. During a photo shoot in London, she just had to be taken into it, spend time in a hospital bed. Because you know how exhausting it can be to have your picture taken over and over again?
It's a lot.
You have to pose and turn your body into certain positions and look at the camera?
Yeah.
Come on, people. How about some sympathy? She posted a photo of herself in her hospital bed on Facebook, and thanked her fans for all their support and hashtagged the post, "Exhaustion is real."
It's real.
It's deep, man.
Yeah. Sorry for
exhaustion.
The realness.
Exhaustion. Was she exhausted from showing her cans? Yeah. Every photo I see of her, she's got her cans out. She likes to be topless. That much we know.
We calling them cans.
Call them cans, Allie. It's a throwback. Okay. The good old days. Cans, sweater puppies. Speaking of celebrities, from the bad to the best. You know we love Ralphie May here.
Sure.
One of our buddies is comedian Ralphie May. Great story of Ralphie May. You know, being a working comedian. He's traveling constantly. He's always in airports, and he was once again at the Spokane airport. You heard a mother screaming when her toddler was choking.
Oh.
Terrifying as a parent. That those very words send chills down my spine. Ralphie May jumped into action and performed Heimlich on the kid.
Wow.
And paramedics confirm saved his life.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. Here's the thing. When you're in the entertainment business, you can do a lot of stuff and make money and have people like what you do and get a lot of laughs. But if you save a kid's life, boom, you're done. You've served your purpose on the planet.
Huge.
It's enormous. So, much love to Ralphie May. It's great. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a very nice man.
He is, and a lifesaver. You know, True Blood, did you watch the True Blood on HBO?
I didn't.
I didn't really either. Mm-mm. I know Dave the King of Mexico was a big fan. Muggs, did you watch True Blood?
Never did. No.
They're making a stage musical based on the vampire series. There was an industry workshop in New York City this week, and they're putting together a vampire series. The cast, at least for the tryout, included an actress named Ellen Foley. You may or may not remember her. She was on Night Court back in the day, but she's probably best known also as a singer. She was the original girl on the classic Meatloaf song Paradise by the Dashboard Light. The one who does the duet with him, that's Ellen Foley on that record. So apparently they're considering her for the cast of that show.
Ah.
That'd be pretty cool. And Daniel Radcliffe is headed back to the stage. He previews a new show off Broadway tonight called Privacy, which not only allows people to keep their phones on during the show, but encourages them to use them.
What?
They incorporate the show and people talking on the phone and taking video and stuff into the show, apparently. It sounds like a nightmare.
This sounds like it's setting a very bad precedent.
Yeah, you're letting the inmates run the asylum at this point. I guess it's experimental theater, so somehow it works in. But the play opens tonight at the public theater, so don't go see that. It sounds awful. Nancy Grace is leaving HLN. Boy, do I dislike Nancy Grace.
She, by all accounts, seems like a horrible woman.
She sure does, and she's sure hateable on her television show. She has worked at HLN for the past 10 years, and she's at the end of her contract in October, apparently. No word yet on where she'll be going, but I'm sure she won't leave television for long because she seems like one of those people who needs it.
Yeah. My friend Josh said she's going to spend more time accusing her family. That's what she's looking forward to.
She does accuse everyone for everything. And hey, we mentioned it, 4th of July coming up this weekend. Monday, actually. So you got a long holiday weekend. I want you to enjoy yourself, but please be careful. I did not know this, but the 4th of July is the number one day when most car crashes take place in the United States. Did you know that?
Is it because they're looking at fireworks?
I have no idea. It's not all alcohol-related.
Huh.
Because New Year's ranks above the 4th of July in that category. But it obviously plays a big part. There's like 41% of crash deaths on July 4th involve booze. So don't drink and drive.
No.
But also, I mean 59% are not alcohol related. So people are just not paying attention. So be careful out there.
And put your dog inside. Your dog's going to freak out.
And don't let your dog drive.
No.
Because I'm sure a lot of those car crashes probably involve canine vehicular manslaughter.
Here. Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you know, there's a lot of trivia, but I got a list here in front of me. 4th of July is the third most popular drinking holiday. Third! We can do better, people. We can do better. Yeah.
What, New Year's?
New Year's Eve is number one, the most popular drinking holiday.
St. Patrick's Day?
Number two made me laugh, because I know why. It's not St. Patrick's Day, that's fourth.
Oh, tax day?
No. Thanksgiving is fifth. The second most popular drinking holiday, Christmas.
Really?
Yeah, you know why? Families.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get sauce just to get through that day with most of the families.
Amen.
Right? But 4th of July 3rd, come on.
Yeah. Come on,
put
America.
Your back into it, people.
What?
Lift them. Start lifting them. Monday, just get loaded. Let's get juiced. Let's push that holiday to the top.
Okay.
Gotta celebrate our independence, goddammit.
Right.
You're right. You're right, Muggs.
Just think, if we hadn't fought that fight back in 1776, we'd all be Brexiting right now, right?
Well, we might be anyway.
So we got saved from the Brexit, thanks to our founding fathers.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Deborah Harry of Blondie fame is 71 years old today. Boy, back in the day, I'd have a thing for Deborah Harry. She was sexy.
Yeah.
Talented. Pamela Anderson's 49. Do we still belt Pamela Anderson or not? I'm torn. I mean, she's sort of like a Hall of Famer, isn't she?
Yeah.
Those sweater puppies ain't aging.
How about those cans?
Okay. See?
Missy Elliott is 45. Liv Tyler is 39 years old today. Actress Hilary Burton is 34. Anybody?
Oh, Dawson's Creek.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Belle?
I don't.
And you know what?
What?
Hold on.
All right.
I think she's married
to someone.
Hold on.
Hilary Burton.
Hilary Burton.
Dawson's Creek? I don't remember her
Hold
from
on.
Dawson's Creek.
Did One
she have
Tree
big
Hill.
Sweater puppies?
One Tree
oh,
Hill.
One Tree Hill.
My bad.
Okay.
But guess who she's married to?
You
want to be his best friend.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
She sure is.
So wow. Hilary Burton is also from White Collar.
Yes.
She's also on White Collar.
Sure. Yes, she is.
Why did I not put the name to the face immediately?
I don't know, but you're bad because she gets to have
her.
Sex with the man you love.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yes.
She's 34 years old today. And Dan Aykroyd. One of my favorites, 64 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Chris Shiflett, guitarist for Foo Fighters, in studio with us right now on the Kevin Michelle.
Hey,
Chris.
Thank you for pronouncing my name correctly. That is a rarity.
Is it?
Nice work.
How is it? How is it incorrectly pronounced?
Shiflett.
Really?
You know, it's S-H-I, and then, you know, you can fill in the blank.
people
get creative.
I found it easier than many names, but thank you, Chris, for that. How many bands are you in right now, Chris?
Too many.
I mean, for reals, though.
Well, there's the Foo Fighters is one, and then, you know, I got like a honky-tonk band that I do when I'm not doing that called the Dead Peasants, and then there's always me first in the Gimme Gimmies.
Right.
Which is a...
You've been with them forever.
Yeah, long-running thing.
You're also in Chevy Metal.
I'm not currently in Chevy Metal.
Oh,
really? Chevy Metal is sort of a revolving door of guitar players.
Did you get fired from Chevy Metal? Did Taylor fire you? Because that's awkward when you go back to your day job.
It wasn't exactly a firing. He just has different people come and do it, and sometimes it's me, and most of the time it isn't.
as Chris sat down, I said, "What's it like having time off?" And then the song ended right before I could hear what the answer was that you were going to say.
It's pretty great, man. You know, we're working really hard for a long time. And
you're on the road for how long?
We were on the road for, I don't know, at least a year or so for the last one. But then, you know, we were also traveling when we made the record. So that kind of felt like you were on the road. So it felt like a year and a half or so. And then before that, there was like shows we did for Dave's movie and then the album before that. So it seemed like it was just a long stretch of back-to-back stuff.
And of not having any time off.
Right.
Now, how does it usually work with Foo Fighters? Do you guys, shake hands on the last night of whatever the tour and say, okay, we'll check back in a year? Or is everybody just sitting around waiting for somebody to call to get it started up again? Like, how do you know when it's time to go back to work?
Usually it starts, you know, Dave usually sends out an email or a text or something. And, hey, you know, I got some songs. Let's go.
Can you imagine he pokes them on Facebook? It's like, all right, guys, it's time.
It's time.
But usually, you know, we don't have this amount of time off. You know, it's usually
well, you
sort
certainly
of some...
earned it. I mean, you guys worked a lot over the last 20 years. Forget the last five. The last 20 years, you guys
yeah,
have worked
man.
A lot.
I feel like there are a lot of bands that break up because they don't take this kind of time off.
I agree.
They just run themselves into the ground, and then they just can't stand each other, and they just move on to different things.
I think Dave has always had a really good sense of when to pull back.
We have had you on the show a couple of times in the past, Chris, but only in the context of the bigger Foo Fighters appearance. Haven't we done two breakfasts with the Foo Fighters? I think we have. Does that sound right to you?
That sounds right. Yeah, didn't we do something like that at the Troubadour one time?
Is that the one that Lemmy was at?
Could have been.
Yes, Lemmy came out on Dave's birthday or something.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, same.
all those memories just kind of blend together, you know.
I would imagine with all of the places you've gone and the schedule you've kept and the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows and guest stars, I bet all the time people come up to you and say, oh, I was at the show when this happened. And you're like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, but you don't say that. You just lie through it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
hey, bro.
Had a great time.
It's hard in rock and roll because every time you come through a different town, like people have different colored hair and, you know, I don't know, styles change. It's like I meet people all the time.
I've met
a million times. And I have no idea who they are or exactly what
do
they
you
do.
Have super hardcore fans that you see at every show? And you go, okay, let's put a guy on that guy over there.
I mean, I've been in the band like this summer. It'll be 17 years. And there are people that have been in the front row since I started.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's something.
And now you're like, aren't you a little old? Maybe move a few rows
they
back.
You, aren't you a little old?
Yeah, touche.
Chris, what is your favorite, if there is one, of all of the crazy guest performances you've had on stage with the Foo Fighters, even with whether it was from Making the Sound City movie or just guests that have come out and played at various concerts around the world? Who was the one that like really blew your mind that you got to be on stage and performing with?
Oh, without any doubt. I mean, it was actually the reverse. We were the guests when we got to go back up Mick Jagger on SNL a few years ago.
Oh, right.
We were his guests. That was the most mind-blowing experience. I mean, the Stones are my favorite band of all time. Mick Jagger is like, you know, the king of all kings for rock and roll for me.
Yeah.
And to get to go play a couple of songs with him and hang out with him a little bit at rehearsals for, you know, that week. It was just
absolutely
mind-blowing.
Is he the kind of guy that hangs with you and...
There wasn't too much hanging, but you're hanging at the actual, you know, the rehearsal. Every day he would show up and go like, oh, hey guys, my voice is a little tired. I'm just going to kind of hang back today. And then Taylor would click the song off and he'd just start bouncing off the wall. Like that guy can't stop being Mick Jagger. He just is Mick Jagger.
Would you say he's the most Mick Jagger of anyone in the world?
Pretty much. And he came and played a couple songs with us at the after party too, which was maybe even better than what we did on the show.
Oh, gosh.
Mind blowing.
So in your mind, as you are playing guitar on stage and you look over and you see Mick Jagger singing whatever, Brown Sugar or whatever it is, in your mind, you're Keith Richards at that point, right?
100%.
100%. I mean, that's probably the dream you had when you were a little kid.
That is the exact dream I had when I was a little kid. So there's been a lot of those kind of moments over the years, but that one was the big one for me.
All right, when you meet Mick Jagger, was this the first time you ever met him? Was the SNL thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I know in your mind you're thinking, how do I parlay this into a lifetime friendship? Like, what's the next move so that I don't, like, at the end of the after party say, okay, it was great meeting you, Mr. Jagger, and then I never talk to you again. You have to be figuring out a way to get his number on your phone or something, right?
Totally. Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, we were standing there talking to Don Was, and I think it was me and Taylor, and that was when we were doing a lot of Chevy Metal gigs at that point. And I seem to
recall, you got fired.
Before I got fired, right? And I think Taylor said something to him like, hey, man, Mick should take us out as backup band, you know, go do some shows. And Don was just like, oh, no, Keith would kill you guys. No.
Well, the podcast is super fun, you guys. If you love music, walkingthefloor.com is the website. It's also available through Podcast One. And I got it, you know, just through the iTunes app and everything. So keep doing that. And I guess we'll just wait to hear at some point there'll be a Foo Fighters thing again, right?
We shall return.
Yep.
I just don't know when, but yeah, all right. It'll happen.
Chris, so nice to come by, man. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's 6:22 on the world famous K-Rock. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. It's going to be a hot one this weekend. What are you going to do?
I'm going to go to a movie.
That's right, Allie, and that's why we tell you everything that's coming out new in theaters this weekend with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Mixed bag of cinema this weekend available for you in the Southland Cineplexes. Starting off with Satanic.
Oh.
You may not get it from the title, but this is a horror movie about the devil.
It's called Satanic?
Yes. Stars Sarah Hyland from Modern Family.
Oh.
And it's a story of four kids who are on their way to Coachella. And like you do when you're on your way to Coachella, you stop off in L.A. for a tour of true crime occult murder scenes.
Sure.
That's what Allie likes to do with her spare time. So the four of them check into a hotel room that was last lived in by a one of the women who was a member of a satanic cult.
Okay.
And they run into a fifth person, a young girl, who says, you know, I can introduce you to Satan if you want to do some rituals with me. And they go, oh, this sounds like fun. And so they do the rituals. And do you think anything good comes from that?
I think they had a fun time. Then they went to Coachella.
Wrong!
Oh!
Allie.
Oh.
Then Satan shows up and bad things start to happen.
Oh, no.
Here's a clip from Satanic.
This is Lainey Gore's room.
Who the hell's Lainey Gore?
One of the early sisters of LaVey's Church of Satan. You slit her throat here.
What? You guys really want to stay here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah! It's Lainey Gore.
Lainey Gore.
I feel Lainey. Can reach her.
What do you mean?
She means she can summon, right?
I just need willing others to help me. I'll see you soon.
Welcome to La La Land, darling.
Ah! Ah!
You are all going to die tonight.
I don't
murder,
need it.
Allie, murder.
No.
Yes.
No.
Murder.
No.
Staying on the murder theme.
Oh, no.
The Purge is back.
Oh, dear.
The Purge, once again, that time of year where, for 24 hours, all crime is allowed in the United States of America. This has been going on now for, what, at least two films, right?
I think this is, the third.
So one senator, played by the lovely Elizabeth Mitchell, she says, enough. We must, as Americans, stop this purge nonsense.
Sure.
It ain't right. But there are high-powered people who want the purge to continue, so she becomes a target. It's called Purge Election Year. Here's a clip from that trailer.
The soul of our country is at stake. The purge targets the poor and the innocent. It is a night that is defining our country.
It's time to do something about that, Senator.
The purge has to come to an end.
You take a lot of risks, Senator.
This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge. At the siren, all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 hours. Your government thanks you for your participation.
Ah! Ah!
You are all going to die tonight.
Yeah.
And that's a true story.
It could be.
Yeah, right?
I feel like,
I know.
Like we're like two and a half elections away from the purge.
Absolutely.
The Legend of Tarzan opens up this weekend. Originally, I poo-pooed this movie. Mm-hmm. When I first heard they're making it, I was like, can we really enjoy a Tarzan movie in an age of Transformers and Iron Men and Avengers? And when we live in such a high-tech, big, bombastic, blockbuster world, can a guy running around in the jungle still thrill an audience? And I went, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's a hero from a different time.
What changed your mind?
I saw the trailer.
Okay.
And it looks really cool. First of all, Alexander Skarsgård as Tarzan.
Hi.
Right?
How does the loincloth fit, if you know what I'm saying?
And then you get Christoph Waltz as the bad guy.
See, Muggs, it's rumored that he has a huge...
Okay, we get it. Big schwanz.
Okay.
You got Margot Robbie.
Yes.
As Jane. I want to see a movie of just Tarzan and Jane just doing it.
Right.
Give me that for 2 hours.
Think that's porn.
They're beautiful.
Yes.
They're two beautiful people.
Yes.
But then you put in the CGI gorilla family that raised Tarzan, and you get Samuel L. Jackson.
What?
Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
What's not to like?
Christoph Waltz, also.
I mentioned him earlier.
Oh, I was not listening.
When you were in the room staring at me previously while I was doing the movie beat, I said Christoph Waltz right there at the top.
You were thinking about...
Where are we right now?
Yeah, you were thinking about Alexander Skarsgård. Yeah. Here's a scene from the trailer of The Legend of Tarzan.
You... are Tarzan.
You may not like who you were. You may have enemies there. But you need to go home.
Your husband's wildness disturbs me.
I need you to scream for me.
Like a damsel.
He's Tarzan. You're Jane. He'll come for you.
I was doing my Tarzan yell, and you guys were thinking we're all going to die tonight.
Sorry. That's on us.
That is on you. And lastly, BFG opens up this weekend for the kids.
Inappropriate.
It's Big Friendly Giant, Allie.
That's what they want you to believe.
It's not Big Effing Giant.
It is.
Steven Spielberg directs this film based on a Roald Dahl novel. Mark Rylance is the voice of the big giant himself. This looks just charming. Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords is also in this film. Little Sophie encounters the BFG, the big friendly giant who, despite his intimidating appearance, turns out to be kind and sweet and takes care of her. And he's an outcast from the other giants because he refuses to eat children.
Aww.
The other giants all gobble up kids, but he's like, nope, not me. I'm child intolerant, he says.
Is that what he says?
That's what he says. They don't sit well then. They give them the wind. Sorry.
Yeah, that's so much wind. He's huge.
Because he's big.
Yes.
And so they become friends, and together they fight the bad giants. It just looks charming as F. And Spielberg, if you want to, you know, who does a story of kids and adventure better than Spielberg? Nobody. That's my answer. Here's a clip from the trailer of Disney's The BFG.
What kind of a monster are you?
Bone cruncher. Child chewer, meat dripper, gizzard gulper, butcher boy.
Please don't eat me.
You think because I am a giant that I'm a man goblin cannibal?
Some of the music for the film, I guess.
I don't call you BFG.
BFG.
That was good. That was Dave. That was Dave
that
with
was
those
Dave.
Trailers.
Usually, wow. That's Muggs.
That was a
specialty.
Musical montage where right there.
You like those violins.
I like that little orchestral interlude we got there during the movie beat. That gave us all a chance to sit back and take a break from anything that was entertaining. So BFG also opens up this weekend. Something for everyone. For the ladies, you can see Alexander Skarsgård run around half naked in the jungle.
Okay.
The kids can see a giant. murderers can watch The Purge. And, of course, for you Satan lovers, they're satanic. So we've left no one out this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
1 minute you're fine, the next minute you can't believe how effed up you are because you got hurt doing something you never would have expected to get hurt doing. Where do you want to start? Who do you like here?
Start with Robert in Long Beach. Hi, Robert.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, thank you. The worst way you hurt yourself?
Yeah, well, I was really being very physical. I was actually sleeping.
Sleeping. Okay.
Sleeping. So go to bed. I lay on my side because I just got tattooed. They don't want to get my tattoo on the sheet. Wake up in the morning, my right knee hurts. I step out of bed to go to the bathroom, and I land on the floor. I ruptured my MCL.
Just getting out of bed?
Getting out of bed, yeah. I guess when I was laying on the side, my knee was like in a weird position the entire night. So it was just...
I see. So it was weak by the time you put weight on it. It was weak and just gave away.
That's true. Yep, and then just said goodbye.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. And how long is the recovery on something like that?
Usually it takes about 4 months.
Yeah, that's surgery and then 4 to 6 months, I think. Yeah.
How right. about that? Yep. Well, that'll teach you to sleep,
right?
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Robert. Let's go to Joshua in Whittier. He's up next. He's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Joshua.
Hey, what's going on?
Talking about stupid ways you hurt yourself.
Well, I was at the beach having a nice picnic with some friends, and a really, really dumb bird decides to go over and grab my food, and I decided I was going to chase him a bit. Well, it's middle of the day, and I don't think this fire pit is lit. And the ashes underneath were still smoldering. I end up getting my feet in the smoldering ash and get second-degree burns on both of my feet while I'm at the beach.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Did you look back and the bird was just eating your food slowly?
No, I looked back at the bird. He's fighting with some other birds over it, and I just gave up at that point.
Yeah.
It was done.
How much would you guys pay if there were video of that 10 seconds right there? Would
all
be great to see.
I would pay all.
That's awesome. Thanks for the call. Hey, let's go to Brandy. She's in Long Beach. She's on line 9. Speaking of the guy who tore his ACL while he was sleeping, Brandy, you were sleeping and got hurt too?
Hi.
Hi there.
Can you guys hear us okay? It's lightning.
Oh, hey, Light. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm on the way taking my wife to the doctors right now because of something that happened back in December. And, back on December 14th, she wakes up and she can't move her arm and her neck hurts.
Oh, no.
And she goes to the chiropractor, and it's really weird, and he adjusts her. And now, leaving the chiropractor, she gets stuck in the car, and the paramedics have to get her out because now she can't move at all.
What?
So apparently in her sleep, she had herniated a few discs and now has, and about 2 weeks ago, had those two discs, her spine fused, and now has titanium plates in her neck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow, y'all have to get better at sleeping.
No kidding. Or were you wrecking her?
Oh,
I'm
Kevin,
saying.
It's lightning and brandy.
It's activity, though. I'm saying at least there's something going on.
It does seem more lively than just sleeping. I think so. I think lightning's wrecking her. All right. Well, I hope she feels better. Thank you for the call.
I can take credit for that, yeah.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you. This one is a text from the 909. Hi, Kevin. My name is Craig. I was cooking bacon. Apparently, some grease splattered on the floor. I slipped and wound up doing the splits, still holding the frying pan full of bacon. My groin muscle tore.
Oh.
Picture that, doing the splits, and you tear a muscle in your groin.
Did you save the bacon?
Yes, I
you
needed
saved
surgery.
The bacon! Yay!
But I saved the bacon.
Yay!
And that's what's really important, I think. All right, okay, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I love Sabrina in Los Angeles so much on line 3. Sabrina is all of us. Welcome to the show, my dear. What happened?
Hey, Sabrina.
I was way too excited for my toasted frosted Pop-Tart.
By the way, it's not possible to be way too excited about that, but continue.
Grabbed it the second it came up out of the toaster. The frosting was hot like napalm. My skin. And like an idiot, I go shaking my hand, getting frosting all up my arm, ended up with third-degree burns, had to wait for the skin to fall off.
Oh, man. Did you save the Pop-Tart?
You know, I did eat the Pop-Tart, and it was delicious.
Right?
USA!
Come on.
USA!
Here's what we learn about our listeners. They don't give up.
No.
Thank you for the call, Sabrina. We appreciate it.
Let's do one more. Let's make it Matt. He's in La Habra. He's up next on line 6.
All right. Hey, Matt, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
What'd you do?
So, I have a thing with flies. Ever since I was a kid, like, I'd get all excited about killing flies. So, a few months ago, no, it was probably last year, I had a fly that made its way into my office.
Maybe it was when I was three.
Maybe it was a fly. It might not have been a fly. It could have been a bee. I'm not sure, Kevin.
It was a fly for sure. So, okay. Like, I went all covert operation. Like, I closed my office door. I closed my windows. And, like, I grabbed a file folder because that was, like, the heaviest thing that I had in my office. And, like, I went to, like, wind up, like, super big wind up to try and kill this thing, right? So I went and wound up with my elbow and ended up smacking it hard into one of the filing cabinets in my office.
Oh, funny
so
bone?
That wasn't the big deal. Like, so that night, I went out with some friends and we decided to get drunk and play tennis at her apartment complex. So the next morning, my elbow, like, it looked like it had a cantaloupe on it. It was so swollen and disgusting.
That's not
and
good.
I'm like, what the F is going on? So I ended up having to go to urgent care. And it ended up that I contracted staph infection from trying to kill that fly.
Oh, that could be so serious.
When I smacked my elbow into my file cabinet, I ended up, like, rupturing capillaries or some nonsense like that. And
did
I ended
you get
up
the fly?
So fly one, Matt zero.
Dude, you have no idea. I was down for, like, 3 weeks with that staph infection. It was crazy.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It happened.
Thank you for the call.
July, everybody.
Yeah.
That's right, Beer Mug. I'm looking at you. Happy July.
Oh.
It is July the 1st.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so
and
we
celebrate.
That is true.
I didn't even realize that. And we're celebrating here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54 in the morning. Thanks for tuning in. Ralph Garman here with the lovely and talented Allie McKay. Beer Mug behind the board. July 1st means two things to me. Mm-hmm. First, the 1966 Batman movie is finally available on Netflix today.
Same.
Right?
Yeah.
Been waiting that for a while. You couldn't watch the Adam West Burt Ward Batman movie on Netflix until today. Now it's available.
It is
a crime. It's a sin.
Yes.
Is what it is.
Yes.
It's inhuman. It's evil.
Yes, it is all those things, but it has been rectified.
It has been rectified. And so now we can watch it on Netflix, which is great. And also, July 1st means to me new Blink music. New Blink 182 music for the first time. I don't know. What's it been? 5 years since their last album?
It's got to be.
2011, I think maybe was the last one. New album, California, drops today from Blink 182 with, of course, the addition of Matt Skiba, their new bandmate, who's a terrific guy.
Yes.
The album is awesome. If you haven't heard it, I thought we'd play some clips from the album because we are celebrating its release today. Let's kick things off with a great track called Bored to Death. Of course, you've been hearing that a ton on K-Rock. We've been playing that bunch, but I love it.
I don't know about you, but when I heard the first single, I breathed a sigh of relief. I was like, oh, it sounds like Blink.
It's very
and it
Blink.
It just felt good to me.
Yes. This is no great departure.
No.
In terms of a sound for the band. A lot of people, when Matt joined, they said, what's it going to mean? You know, how's that going to change things up? The answer is, it's only made it better, in my opinion.
I agree.
It's all Blink was, plus more. Built This Pool is another track off the album. It's another one of our favorites. Track in its entirety. It's all for you.
I love Travis saying, is that really
is
it?
Is that really it? That's the song we're going to put on her album?
Did you hear the story of it when they were in here?
Yeah.
Literally gave him the track and said, just play this.
Right.
Then he sang
they
it.
Knocked
and
it out.
Travis had no idea what was happening. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's real?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Cynical's another song off the album. Here it is. San Diego, here's that song.
Can't sleep, 'cause what if I dream of going back to San Diego? We bought a one-way ticket so we can go see the Cure and listen to our favorite songs in the parking lot. Think of every person I am.
Oh, I love it so much.
Is there any better summer music than Blink?
No.
To have new Blink music to play during the summertime. Take the top off your car, even if it's not a convertible.
Right.
Just chop it off.
I agree.
And then just turn this album up to the maximum volume.
Take your top off.
Just, Sally, right.
Yes.
And lastly, here's another track from California, the new Blink-182 album called Bohemian Rhapsody.
Love it. There's something about you.
I love them so much.
The boys having a good time on the new album California from Blink 182. Just thought we'd give you some highlights from that. Congratulations to Finding Dory. This animated film has made $300 million in North America alone in 12 days.
Are you kidding?
Is that insane? It is the fastest that an animated film has ever accomplished this feat. Previous record holders were Toy Story 3 and Shrek 2. They made $300 million in 18 days, but Finding Dory crushing that record. So
that's unreal.
That's significant.
Good for Ellen DeGeneres. I mean, she hasn't really done much lately.
Right. So. Finally, she's getting some work.
Yeah.
And speaking of money, I thought this was an interesting list. They put out a list of the top grossing movie actresses, which I thought was interesting. These are women who have been in the highest grossing films combined. If you look at all their movies, they have made the most.
Jennifer Lawrence,
10th
wow.
on the list.
I can't guess number one because I know it. I saw it yesterday.
Okay.
So I'll sit out on this one.
No one was asking you to guess.
Oh.
We weren't even looking at you.
Oh, just, I wanted to play.
Just turn your back.
Meryl Streep,
not in the top 10.
You are kidding. That's a travesty.
Look, she's a great actress, Allie. And she's
one of the best.
And she's an Oscar winner many times over, but... Okay. How many blockbusters has she been in?
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts, 5th on the list.
Okay.
Her films have totaled $2.7 billion. So far, you've got Jennifer Lawrence at 10 and Julia Roberts at 5.
Scarlett Johansson,
number one, Ellie.
Oh, thank you.
The total box office receipts from all of her films comes to $3.3 billion.
What?
So she is the actress who's been in the biggest money-making films of all time.
That's incredible.
Pretty impressive. Any guesses? I won't do the whole list, but any guesses as to the man who's been in the highest grossing films of all time? Total?
The Cloonster.
Yeah, I'd say Clooney's up there.
The Cloonster? First of all, no one calls him the Cloonster.
No one,
I do.
And secondly, he, like Meryl Streep, is beloved and talented, and everyone loves him.
Not
but
on the list.
Not a lot of... How much money has, you know, Good Night and Good Luck made? I mean, these are...
What about the Oceans franchise?
Yeah, they did well, but they weren't blockbusters.
Matt Damon,
not on the top 10.
You are
wow.
kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Ben Affleck,
not in the top 10.
Just going to name guys from Massachusetts.
I know you are. That's how you roll.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is 8th on the list.
Okay.
Thanks to his success with the Pirates films. $3.3 billion. So he's made as much as Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
The Bond guy. No.
Which one?
There's been seven Bond guys.
Daniel Craig?
Yes.
Not on the list.
Oh, my God.
RDJ.
Oh,
Robert
Downey
Jr.,
yes.
Good guess, Fear Mug. $3.9 billion makes him number 5
okay.
on the list.
Whoa.
Of top 10 male actors in highest grossing movies.
Chris Pratt.
No, not on the list.
Come on!
Look, there's guys who have been in the business a lot longer than Chris Pratt
okay.
have made bigger films.
Sure.
We're talking total.
Total. Yes, you're talking total.
For a career here. The answer is obvious.
It is.
Obvious.
It is. De Niro.
Oh, my Lord.
Pacino.
I will put you down. I will end you.
Oh, that's disturbing.
This will be the final show ever for you. Come on. People are screaming at their radio right now. Screaming.
I bet they are.
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus is number one at the box office.
Mel Gibson.
I'm just
going to
give it away so we can move on because we're running late.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
I love you,
sure.
Star Wars.
Indiana Jones.
Sure.
Blade Runner. I mean, all of his.
Yeah.
You know, Air Force
no
One.
Hand, no arm. And
Fugitive.
Yeah,
come on.
I
Who's made
apologize.
More than Harrison Ford? Right.
Who's number two?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, good for
That's
him.
Only because he's been in every movie ever made.
Absolutely.
He's got three movies coming out this weekend, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Today's celebrity birthday is Deborah Harry, 71 years old today. Dan Aykroyd turned 64. Pamela Anderson's 49 years old today. Missy Elliott, 45. Liv Tyler is 39. And Hillary Burton celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Allie, who do you think should be the new host of K-Rock's Love Line?
Oof, that's tough.
It's a tough one, right?
Yeah, because Mike, obviously, when he mentioned he was going to be leaving, everybody started thinking, well, who can fill in? Who's got, you know, the chops, the radio chops? You have to be funny, but you have to be empathetic.
Yep.
So we suggested Beer Mug, and then we heard his audition tape. And
yeah, it may not be a good fit. I think Mugs
is the best.
Mugs is good at a lot of things, like stuff in Shake Shack in his mouth, but maybe doing Love Line isn't for him. You're right. You do need a very special type of Hall of Fame broadcast professional.
Yeah.
And I think we've got the audition tape that's going to nail it for a young man I like to call Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show.
This is Love Line.
Love Line.
It makes sex even better.
Everybody, you're listening to Livlin, Love Line on with me and Dr. Pudrinsky on radio and call us Love 1-800-108-1-800 Love I9I. You're on the call. Go ahead on the phone.
Hi, Kevin and Dr. Drew. I was wondering if you had some advice on how I can get my girlfriend to have a threesome with me and another girl.
Oh, it's very not hard, not easy to make do that. So, first you have to find four other people for a threesome.
Oh.
And then when you're going, ask her first, hey, you, terrorist situations?
What? I want to try to get her to have a threesome with me.
I know, that's why I'm saying, if you are not first, you must have a girlfriend.
I do have a girlfriend. I'm trying to get her to have a threesome.
All right, then. Why don't you... here's an idea. Try to have a threesome.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I want to do that.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I want my girlfriend to have a threesome with me and another girl. How do I get her to do that?
Oh, okay. First of all, you must always have a friend... She must have a friend that you are also interested in having a threesome.
This is not helpful at all.
No, listen. Okay, first,
Kevin.
You have a girlfriend, right? B, you are also looking for another woman also, and L, you can't. You're trying to talk to her into it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I've often eat mac and cheese because it was, you know, did you know mac and cheese is, mac is short for macaroni?
Oh, no.
Hello? Hello? Oh, I think I hung up on him. That's my bad. That's on me. That's my bad, Dr. Pudrinsky.
We have a winner, ladies. All right. I try, and Kevin, I know you do the same thing, try to filter out email from anybody out of Boston, just in general.
Sure.
We don't need to hear anything people from Boston have to say. But somehow Todd's email got through. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I'm an avid podcast listener of your show. I've been listening for the past 7 years from Boston. What's up, Allie? I just discovered the best thing while listening to the podcast on my iPhone. As I was listening, I missed something you said, and I went to hit the back 15 seconds button. But I accidentally hit the speed button instead. Now, for folks who don't listen to the podcast on a phone, that they do have those options. If you want to go back 15 seconds or go forward 15 seconds, or if you want to make the, for whatever reason, if you want to make the thing go twice as fast or half as fast, you can do that. Now, what do you suppose that feature is there for?
I don't know. And I can't imagine that any of us said anything that was worth going back 15 seconds for.
Ever.
Ever.
Well, sometimes you miss a punchline or you miss a guest introduction's name. I can understand that. But I don't understand why they give you the options of speeding up and slowing down. I don't get that. Anyway, so I hit the speed button instead, Todd says. That started speeding up the show. And then after I hit the speed button a couple more times, it ended up on half speed. And I have to tell you, when you play your show at half speed, it sounds like you guys are doing the show completely drunk off your ass. I've never laughed so hard in my life. In fact, I listened to the rest of the show about 20 minutes more, all in half speed. I might start listening to the show this way from now on. You guys need to play some parts of the show in half speed to have a good laugh. Love the show. Fire Beer Mug, Todd from Boston. All right. I had not tried this before,
but I did last night go to Friday's podcast right as we were coming on the air at 5:30 to see what it sounds like. So I'm going to hit the tape, and it's going to pick up right before we come on live. And let's see what Todd found so amusing. You guys ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
And now.
Okay, guys. Hey, guess what? You just got played.
Ah! Yeah! Our feature presentation. We take such joy in such stupidity. That is accurate.
Yeah,
that's the show. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Friday, the 6th of May. What's up, you guys?
You know.
Hanging and banging.
Right.
What? Like we do.
Talking the hits. Like you do.
That's right.
Everybody excited about the weekend?
Sure.
Listen to Allie's. Listen to Allie's yes, by the way.
Yes.
Sure. Yes. Doing anything? Going any place? Living in dreams? Living any dreams? No, I don't think so.
I am.
My dream is for more sleep. Are you living a dream this weekend, Allie? It's like 5 days I'm working.
Yeah.
I noticed that, by the way. So, I didn't want to say anything and jinx it yesterday, but when you showed up 4 days in a week yesterday, I thought that was some sort of new world record.
How are you feeling today?
I think I'm going to make it.
What do you guys think? Wow, we're so much more interesting
disturbing.
That way. Not interesting, but just disturbing, yeah.
You guys want a little more?
Oh, yes. Please.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a second wind, or are you just running on fumes now?
No, I'm all good. I feel better than I ever have.
You couldn't even get that out.
Kevin, you're all right?
I'm fine. I'm good.
Wow.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Todd from Boston with a new exciting way for you to listen to the show.
How about that?
It only takes twice as long, but I think it might be worth it. I don't know a lot about fetuses in utero, but I am always interested to see people who believe that your kids can hear you from inside the mother's belly. But I will tell you one company that does know what's going on, and they are called BabyPod, because they have figured out a way to do concerts for children who have not yet been born with a new device. You're going to think this is a joke, but here's the actual report on the story.
This carol is included in a very special concert by Soraya to welcome Christmas that a group of mothers and their future babies were able to attend. The unborn babies were in the crowd thanks to BabyPod, a revolutionary device designed to broadcast music inside the vagina. This is the first concert for fetuses ever made in the world.
Today, in this vaginal concert, for the first time, the fetuses have had the opportunity to quit the soundproof environment they live and listen to Christmas song.
BabyPod is the result of a Spanish study which proved that a fetus can respond to musical stimulus by moving the mouth.
I've never been performing for such a young audience, so for me it's been a very special show.
BabyPod is safe and easy to use. It is placed like a tampon and connects to the smartphone. It is a revolution in gynecology.
I'm sorry. Connects to the smartphone.
Yes, but you insert it into the vagina to share music with your child-to-be. Let's dial up the phone here, Jeff, because we need to find out more about this. Like, why does anything have to be inserted into your vagina for your baby to hear? I mean, can't they just hear from the outside of your tummy? What's the difference? What's going on?
But we're calling an expert at BabyPod.
Yes.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, the Kevin and Bean Show calling from K-Rock Los Angeles. We had an interview set up with a spokesperson from BabyPod.
Hey, what's going on?
Who is this?
I'm Cletus.
Oh, hi, Cletus. Welcome. And you represent Baby Pod?
No, I'm a happy customer.
Wait, you're a fetus?
Yeah, Cletus the fetus.
Cletus the fetus? Wait, are we talking to you in your mother's womb right now?
Yeah, it's a party, man.
So you also have a phone in addition to a Baby Pod?
Yeah, well, Mom first tried to just put the phone in there.
Uh-huh.
And then she lost that. And that's why she decided to get the Baby Pod. But I
okay.
got the phone. Woo! My first phone.
You seem to be having a party in there. I thought it was like soothing music. What are you listening to?
Shut up, lady.
Okay.
The music's too loud. You're too old.
Good point.
I'm young. I love my music loud.
Right.
I like BPMs, baby.
Okay, but I think what Allie is saying is the Baby Pod, they were selling this as, what, Cletus?
What, old man,
I'm sorry, are you dancing? Is that what's happening
now? That's what I'm doing, yeah.
Okay.
I got an amniotic fluid. You can just do spins and somersaults. Woo!
Huh, it's like a zero gravity for astronauts,
yeah.
Huh? Okay, I got you. Baby Pod is making this sound like you're supposed to. Is there any way you can get further away from the music so we can hear you?
No, I'm in a uterus. Where am I going to go?
I guess that's a good point. So, Cletus, I thought, as Allie was trying to say, that you're supposed to be soothed by this. This is supposed to be relaxing, and you're warm,
relaxing.
And you're comfortable, you're cozy.
I'm cozy and relaxing. I'm so relaxed. Can I have a little champagne?
No,
Cletus.
That's not.
Champagne with the ladies. Woo!
I don't think you should be drinking in the womb. That doesn't seem safe.
Oh, shut up, old man. What do you know?
Seems to be a lot of stuff up there.
There is. It's a party. I call it Vagcella.
Vagcella.
Yeah. I'm in the VIP tent, bro.
I feel like it's going to be disappointing for you when you are finally born, because the outside world is not nearly this much fun.
I know. That's why I may not ever come out.
Well,
I may start the first in utero nightclub.
Okay.
I'm like the Scott Disick of babies.
How do you know so much about what's going on in the world?
Smartphone, bro. Smartphone.
Okay.
The party don't stop till the water breaks, baby.
That's what I've heard.
Incredible. It's the time of the year again. July 4th is here. Let's start. Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. I do it up big on the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. The neighborhood's grilling, chilling outside. Can you feel it? It's that summer glory when I get to celebrate USA's story. Turn up and day's just starting. I brought a picnic, this cheese is a party. It's a holiday, our nation's birthday. Red, white and blue all over the place. It's so hot, I can't believe it. An ice cold drink, you're gonna need it. But I'm fresh, I'm looking real mean, blocking UV SPF 15. Paper plates with patriotic doodles, wave a tiny flag from my pool noodle. Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. I do it up big on the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. Sip my soda on the 4th of July. 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 Friends crowd the grill, I know why. Burgers smell delicious, I can't pass by. You take my bun, I'll take yours. Anyone know who brought these fruit skewers? Check my t-shirt, there's an eagle on it. I love the 4th, and you can bet on it. Ask my cousin, ask my aunt, and my third cousin, he never fronts. Pledge allegiance to fun in the sun. I'm proud to be American. Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. I do it up big on the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. Pop that firework, got me peeping hard to the sky. 4th of July. 4th of July. Everybody. 4th of July. 4th of July. Can I just say, it's been a good day. Real quick, shout to mama. July 4th. Nada. Walking home with an empanada. 4th of July. 4th of July. 4th of July. 4th of July. 4th. Stay cool.
Stay cool.
Rosa G.
Rosa G with the 4th of July. Not nearly enough 4th of July songs, in my opinion.
No.
Certainly none as good as that joint.
That was awesome.
That's my John right there.
Oh, no.
Fourth of July, John. Well, Fourth of July, as you can imagine, has particular significance from those of us.
From Philly?
From the cradle of liberty, yes.
Sure.
Of course, Philadelphia being, of course, the place where the first 4th of July was celebrated by this great nation of ours.
Okay.
Because we did, you know, Declaration of Independence and all that stuff. So you're welcome, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And all of Philadelphia.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening to KROQ-FM 106.7. It's 7:53, I want to say, in the morning. And it's a good day. It's the first day of July. We got the holiday coming up on Monday. So a long weekend to celebrate. It's summertime. The new K-Rock summer sticker is out.
Woo!
You pick that up at Hot Topics, all the Southern California Hot Topic locations. Then you go to krock.com and you enter the password on the back of that sticker to win a chance. You'll have a chance to win, rather. K-Rock's Home Invasion with 21 Pilots. They will come to your house and play a gig. It's pretty sweet. And we'll throw in a brand new 2016 Honda Civic as well.
No bigs.
So go to Hot Topic and pick up your summer sticker today. Beer Mug, you're going to be at a Hot Topic some point, aren't you?
I will. Northridge Fashion Center today from 1 to 3.
Yeah, there you go. Go to Northridge, see Beer Mug, and get a sticker, and you're giving stuff away. You got tickets and things?
Yeah,
and
Blink 182 tickets.
What?
Young the Giant, Temper Trap, Hot Topic gift cards. It's crazy.
It is. It's nuts. Great news for geeks. CW Network has announced they are adding another actor to the cast of The Flash, one of my favorite shows. His name is Tom Felton. Does that name ring a bell?
It does.
Maybe you remember him best as Draco Malfoy from the Harry Potter movies. He is joining the cast, playing a CSI at the Central City Police Department. And he starts to suspect maybe Barry Allen. Maybe something's going on with this Barry Allen guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he happens to be a certain Scarlet Speedster.
Oh, no.
You know.
Sure.
But for every good story, I have sometimes to bring you sad news, bad Uh-oh. News. This is a tough one. This is hard. Spice Girls. Spice Girls have announced they will not reunite this year.
What?
Aww. To celebrate their 20th anniversary.
But with the
I know.
In the 20s.
They were promising and there was looked good and we thought maybe we'd have to do without Posh, but that's okay.
That's fine.
Cuz really you could barely notice her when she's on stage anyway.
When she turns sideways.
She's like a pipe cleaner. Is that a mic stand? No, it's Posh. That's what you say when you watch them in concert. But I was looking forward to the other four girls getting together. However, they have decided they won't move forward to celebrate their 20th anniversary.
Why?
I don't know. It's maybe they didn't. The promoters originally wanted them to tour as the old Spice Girls, and that wasn't going to go.
That's not okay. Stupid.
It's just sad.
You love the Spice Girls, Ralph.
Look. I'll tell you what I want. What I really, really want is to see those girls back on stage together performing.
Right.
I want to spice up my life.
Well done.
Thank you, Beer Mug. I'm telling you, we might keep you around.
Woo!
You're doing okay. Linda Lohan in the news today. She turns 30 tomorrow.
Okay.
The big 3-0 for Lindsay. And she did an interview with Vanity Fair magazine discussing her past. And she said she doesn't regret any of her missteps. Really? You should have. But she said if she had to do it all over again, she probably would listen to her mother more.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Isn't she the one doing coke with you in the back seat of the limo?
Yeah.
Ooh. She said she would have moved to New York City earlier in life because Los Angeles was not a good place for her to be with her predilections.
Right.
For glug glug and...
Yeah.
And she said she would have chosen her friends more wisely. Here's the thing. She said she still has hopes for her future. She'd like to still act, if anyone will let her. Maybe write a book, start a charity, work with children. How tragic is it? She turns 30 tomorrow. Yeah. She's not yet 30.
Yeah.
And her life is pretty much sounds like it's over. She's like desperate for another chance to do something with her life. Most people at 30 are just getting
just
started.
Beginning. Yeah. I think she can turn everything around. I feel good about Lindsay. I do.
Isn't she engaged to that Russian millionaire, billionaire?
I think billionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. So that'll help. do whatever she wants to do. When you have all the money, you can kind of make up your own mind. I just found it so sad as I was reading the story. It's like someone who's not yet 30 talking about, well, I still have hopes for my life. Maybe I can come back. It's like most people at 30 are just out of the starting gate.
Yeah.
Tragic. And speaking of having all the money, this is nuts. You know this E.L. James? She wrote 50 Shades of Grey and subsequent books. And, of course, sold the film rights to that story for a lot of cash. So far, thanks to that crappy, crappy book, that housewife pornography that she wrote, she's made $70 million to date.
Wow.
So the moral of the story here is, boys and girls, forget about math or physics or engineering. Don't go to college. Just write smut. Write smut and do well.
Smut.
I say smut. That's what it is. That is incomprehensible to me. That you can make $70 million from a book that everyone, even the people who read it and enjoyed it, say, well, look, I know it's crap, but you know, right?
I'm not sure what that is.
That's a battery-operated massage tool.
Oh.
You know about that, Allie.
I'm not sure
does
I do.
She? Does she? Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, wait a minute. Before I go to celebrity birthdays, I want to remind everybody. Kevin and Bean, yes, they are on vacation. Well-deserved, right? You guys worked their asses off, those two kids. But they'll be back on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
But meanwhile, Allie is here, and Beer Mug's here, and myself, Ralph Garman, we've been here for the past couple weeks, keeping the show live for the most part.
Just enough altitude just enough. To get off the boat.
And so what we'd like to do is open the phone lines to you, our good and kind friends. We'd love to have you join the show. Why listen to the show when you can become part of the show in a segment we call What's Good? It's where we open up the phone lines and we take your calls on whatever may be on your mind. Maybe you want to talk about what your plans are for the big holiday. Maybe you've seen something in the news that you think is worth mentioning. You have a story about your life you want to share with us? You need some advice? We're here for you. We're all pals. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. We'll take your call live on the air just after the top of the hour with our segment, What's Good? Today's celebrity birthday is Deborah Harry of Blondie fame is 71 years old. Dan Aykroyd is 64. Pamela Anderson's 49 years old today. Missy Elliott, 45. Liv Tyler is 39. And actress Hilary Burton turns 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM at 8:09 in the morning. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is the boys being on vacation. We do are playing some of the best segments of the Kevin and Bean Show, but we're also doing a lot of live stuff, including this segment, my favorite segment of the day. It's when Allie McKay and I get to take your phone calls and find out what's on your mind in a segment called What's Good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good indeed? Let's kick things off with David in Los Angeles, who wants to talk about one of our favorite TV shows. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing today?
Good. What's good?
What's good? Animal Kingdom, man.
Right?
Yeah, it is.
For those quickly, David, for those who aren't familiar, Animal Kingdom is the show Dave's talking about, is on TNT on Tuesday nights. I want to say.
And yes, it's 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Sean Hattasey, who we loved on Southland, is just a great actor. Ellen Barkin. It's about
Speedman.
It's about a family of criminals, and they're brutal, and they're down in Oceanside, California, and it is a great, great show. You just discovered it, David?
Yeah. When you guys had, I forgot who was on the show to talk about Animal Kingdom.
That was Sean.
Oh, yeah, Sean, yeah, talked about it, and I was like, I'll try it out and see, and I love it, man.
And how creepy is Sean as Pope? He is so creepy.
Pope, he's a psycho.
He's a complete psycho.
They're all psycho, except for the kid, except for
Joshua.
They're all dangerous lunatics.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think Pope and Baz are going to butt heads.
Yeah,
What? Right. I think Pope is going to turn out to have the heart of gold. He's going to change. And be the good one.
He's insane.
He's absolutely insane.
He needs medicating.
And once he gets medicated, I feel good about it. Sean Hattasey, he's going to change it all around.
That scene in the cemetery, it was kind of poignant, I thought.
Oh, right?
Right? Yeah. So it's Tuesday nights on TNT, and if you want to catch up, you can go to the TNT website. I think they've got them all streaming there. You can watch them. You can catch up. There's only 4 episodes so far. But thank you, David. Thanks for calling in, man.
Thank you very much, guys.
Let's talk to Steven in Downey. Something's going on in Oklahoma. I had no idea, but apparently Steven's finding out on line 7 what's going on. Steven?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's good?
Hey, man, I just want to tell everybody out there to have a good weekend, but I remember you guys did this news segment on Oklahoma about this serial pooper.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about it, and I hope they find that guy who's been leaving those damn wads of poop all over the place. Nobody wants to find a wad of poop in the morning.
You're right,
You've been
Steven.
Thinking about it, Steven?
Spend a lot of time on this?
Oh, yeah. I'm just like, sick-ass serial pooper leaving wads of poop.
What's happening?
You're so right, Steven. I think it's a national nightmare, and we all have our eyes
Steven,
on Oklahoma, and we're
you.
Sending them our thoughts and prayers also.
I need you because it's a holiday weekend. Just take some time off thinking about it. Just don't think about it this weekend, okay?
Yeah, well, I'm going to send some fireworks to California to get this wad of poop out of the way.
Okay.
All right. I think Steven called just to say wad of poop.
He laughed really hard right now, so I'm just like, who says wad of poop, though?
Thank you, Stephen. Let's go to Sarah in Manhattan Beach on line 6.
Sarah, don't say wad of poop.
She's got an Olympic update for us. Hey, Sarah, what's good?
Hey, good morning. So I was checking out the news this morning. The Washington Post is posting pictures of off-duty police and firefighters who are holding signs that say, "Welcome to hell. Police and firefighters don't get paid. Whoever comes to Rio de Janeiro will not be safe."
Oh, these are cops and firefighters in Brazil?
Yes.
Oh no.
Yeah, not bueno.
At all.
That sounds terrifying.
Wow.
So, I know. I mean, I think that this is just the beginning of, you know, the horrible Olympics that we're going to see this summer, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, Sarah, I think you're right. Just everything leading up to this has just been bad sign after bad sign that this place is just not prepared on any level to host this thing.
I know. I think it's going to be a major disaster, and I feel sorry for the athletes who are going there who have worked their whole lives to get to this stage.
Right. Although I usually don't watch. I will watch this year because I'm hoping for some real, just some disasters. It'd be great. It'd be interesting. It'd be fascinating television.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. A mutilated body washing up on shore at the site of where they're going to be playing volleyball.
Yeah.
What is happening down
then
there?
Then you have to play around that. It's like a natural hazard. There's nothing you can do. You can't move it or anything.
It's a whole new aspect of the game.
Yeah. All right,
Sarah. They might accidentally serve a head instead of a
ball. Sarah, you took it too far, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
I liked it.
Thanks for calling in. Oh, we should go to Lakers talk. How about Brian and Diamond Bar on line 1? This is breaking news. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, sir.
Hey.
So as a diehard Lakers fan, we were having a lot of hope going into this trade deadline. And right when it hit 12 last night, the Lakers dropped $65 million on Timothy Mozgov.
Maz, 4 years, 65 mil, right? Isn't that the deal?
Yeah, and this guy played a total of 25 minutes in all 7 games in the finals, and he put up at most 20 points. So,
I could do that. Will they pay me that kind of money?
Probably more.
Brian, have you seen his commercial, though? Have you seen it on YouTube?
No, what commercial?
I have not, no.
Just Google Mozgov commercial. It's one of those locally produced commercials. It's the worst thing I've ever seen, but it's so worth it. And I say, hey, pay him $64 million just so we can see that commercial out here.
Yeah, I know the internet blew up. I mean, even people were saying, like, when they gave him the deal, like, the guy was super surprised, so...
He was like,
surprised.
Wait, what?
Wait, there's no way I'm worth this. What are you guys thinking? I'm going to give you some money back at the end of the year.
Oh, poor Lakers.
Yeah, so another great year for the Lakers. So,
well, maybe he'll surprise us all. Hope springs eternal, right? Thanks, Brian.
Yeah,
Talk to Sean, lastly, in Northridge as we say goodbye at the end of the segment. How's Sean on line 4? Hey, Sean, what's good?
Hey, what's good is the Allie and Ralph show, or the Ralph and Allie show. That's what's good.
I think you had it right the first time.
Well, it's hardly that, Sean. It's still the Kevin and Bean show, but we're just trying to liven things up a little bit while the guys are gone.
Yeah.
Well, I tweeted it yesterday that I warned them they should look out because you guys are great. I've been loving it. Your interview with Liv Schreiber was awesome.
Thanks so much.
He was awesome. How great is that man?
You're very kind. Hey, Sean, let me ask you a question. Are you a Star Trek fan?
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen up. We appreciate your support. I want to give you something right now. We've got a 4-pack of tickets to the Star Trek in concert happening at the Hollywood Bowl on July 8th. It's the J.J. Abrams movie from 2009 played up on the big HD screen at the Hollywood Bowl, and then they're going to have the Philharmonic Orchestra playing the score live to the picture while you watch. Would you like to go?
I would. I don't know if I'd be able to find four people to go with me, unfortunately.
Well, you only need three, you lonely bastard. You only need three people. You can sell the others. I don't give a rat's ass. I'm trying to give you a prize, Sean.
Sean.
You're awesome, Ralph. I love you guys.
All right. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you and three friends or make new friends and find three homeless people. I don't know. Do something, but go to the Hollywood Bowl in July.
Get it together, Sean.
And have a good time, man. Thanks so much for the support.
I will try.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
That's what's good.
It's going to be like matter and antimatter seeing Brad and Kevin talk today. I'm really excited about this. Kevin, you have for so many years said reading is for losers.
Right.
Our guest, Brad Meltzer, New York Times bestselling author, has sold over 11 million books. So who could be more opposite than you two guys?
Yeah.
This is awesome. His latest is called House of Secrets. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show, sir. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. First of all, I also want to say, Kevin, that also kind of makes you my son. My son said to me, you know, Dad, I hate to read. And I was like, you do know what I do for a living, right? You do know what feeds you. So I really appreciate that.
I don't
that.
Think I would have said that to my dad if he was an author.
But no one's impressed by their dad. You're not supposed to be, right?
Right?
Like
exactly.
That, I accept
You're
it. It's like, I get it. Dad. I'm the cobbler's. He's the cobbler's son.
Exactly. Right. I did read 11 chapters, which for me is sort of
that's a miracle.
That's
good.
Sort of like reading like 11 books for right. most people. It's sort of the equivalent. But how – I'm just going to say this, that the book – is centered around, for at least the part I read, the Bible formerly owned by Benedict Arnold.
It is. You want me to do a quick second?
Please. Yeah, let's hear it.
So basically, the book opens up with a woman who wakes up in the hospital, and she's got no memory, as you saw. And she finds out there's been an accident that's killed her father, who's the host of a conspiracy TV show. Now, the FBI tells her the last person seen with her dad is also found dead, but there's an object stuffed into his body. As you said, it's a priceless book that belonged to Benedict Arnold.
Ew, stuffed in his body?
I know, isn't that gross? Oh. I know. That's why my wife is like, I'm not sleeping with you tonight. Because, like, that's just disgusting.
He sort of
to
put
me.
It, like, under the sternum, like, right
yeah.
in the chest?
No, yeah, covered in wax. So,
that's not an accident.
Not an accident.
Not an accident.
Truly, the height
Benedict
of investigations
Arnold's
right there.
Bible and wax at the same time.
And basically, she has to figure, you know, she has no memory, so she goes to her house. She doesn't know. She finds scars on her body. Doesn't know how they got there. Fights that she was into, she doesn't remember. And she realizes only by solving the murder can she figure out what happened to her dad and, more important, who she is. And then she's the mystery. But as you said, the fun to me is the Benedict Arnold part. So
yeah,
I became obsessed with this stuff.
Is that a real thing?
So here's the thing. So the last moments between George Washington and Benedict Arnold are some of the most heartbreaking in U.S. history. And they say when Benedict Arnold – because they were friends. They were like BFFs. They had the beef fry and the Sten's charm too.
They did.
That's
which sweet.
Was nice. And when they betrayed him, they say it's one of the only times that George Washington has ever seen crying. Which that image I couldn't shake, and that's true. And here's the true part also, is in the last moments after the betrayal, Alexander Hamilton delivers a letter, not in song or rap, but delivers a letter, right, that comes from...
It's a shame.
It is a shame, really. He could have been ahead of his time. but comes from Benedict Arnold to George Washington.
That's also true.
This is true. The letter that you read about asks for three things. One, he says, don't kill my wife because she didn't know I was a traitor. Two, don't kill the staff. They didn't know I was a traitor. And three, in one of the craziest moments of letter writing history, he said, I mean, truly,
is
he
that
says,
a thing?
I think there is SSS. A letter writing history. There's a class somewhere.
Did he write SSS?
No,
sorry, so sloppy?
No, he said KIT, keep in touch.
Keep in touch.
Yeah, so, but he says to him, you had the same yearbook I had. He says to Benedict Arnold, says, hey, do me a favor. Can you please send me back my belongings and my clothing? The guy just put a knife in the back of George Washington, and he basically wants his stuff back, right?
Yeah.
It's like he's like the relationship where he's like, give me my record collection back.
So that's odd, and that gets you to start to think about
what could
really have happened.
But here's the key question. This is also true. To this day, George Washington sends it back, but to this day, nobody knows what is in that belongings, in those belongings that George Washington sent back to Benedict
Arnold. Why would he send them back?
That's the question, right? I mean, if you think about it, he spends the rest of the war trying to hunt and kill Benedict Arnold. You're like, why is he sending it back? And the theory in the book is Benedict Arnold actually the triple agent who's working for us? And I won't ruin the end of the book, but that's question is what motivated me. And then we started going, okay, is it a book? Is, you know, what's in there? You know, because if he was a normal guy, you'd say, you know, he'd light it on fire. He'd put lice in it. He wouldn't send anything back unless it was filled with, you know, horrible things. But to me, I love filling my thrillers, even though it's a mystery, with real history, and that's
so
the fun
was
for me.
It when you learned about that chapter, or maybe you knew it for years and had just been sitting on it, that's what you built the rest of the book around?
Yeah, so I wrote this with my friend Todd Goldberg, and basically we kind of got together and brainstormed different things it could be, but I couldn't shake that idea for 5 years. And in fact, it was 8 years since I got involved with Benedict Arnold. I went to the National Archives, and they take me to the what they call the treasure vault. They're like, you want to go to the treasure vault? When someone at the National Archives says you want to go to the treasure vault,
when somebody anywhere,
anywhere
says that.
Right. You could be in like, yes.
Well, maybe not anywhere, Kevin.
Anywhere.
I think Walmart, anywhere. I think the treasure vault is always going to be good. Like, whatever it's going to target, it's all going to be good. So the treasure vault, they hand me the sheet of paper, and it was from the Revolutionary War. And it's called an oath of allegiance. And George Washington used to line up his top military guys and say to them, I need you to swear that you'll solemnly swear. And that's what it says. I do solemnly swear. You sign your name on the bottom that I will never betray the country. And we still do it today. When you enlist in the army, you raise your right hand. You say, I solemnly swear I'm going to be loyal to the country.
I'm fighting for our side.
That's right. And they're all numbered. 1, 2, 3, 4 in the corner. They have little numbers. And mine is numbered 5. So top guy, fifth guy that George Washington has sign it. It's signed by Benedict Arnold. And in that moment, Benedict Arnold isn't some like curse word you call someone. He's basically a real guy. He's a decorated military guy who on this day put pen to this paper and swore he'd forever be our guy. And to me, that was – I couldn't shake that for like a decade because I was like, is he good? He risked his life for our country. Is he bad? He did a bad thing. Or is he just complicated? And that's what Hazel in the book is, right? She's this woman who's investigating her own life and she's realizing, you know, maybe she wasn't a good person. Is she a bad person or is she just complicated? And that's what all of us are. So it takes like years for us to get to that theme.
How did you start running into circles with presidents? How are you at so many events?
A question I ask myself every day. Yeah.
First of all, tell us what presidents you've
So here's the crazy part.
And then what government agencies as well.
Yeah. So one day I get a letter from Bill Clinton saying he likes the books.
Like you do.
Yeah, every day. and then I get one from George H.W. Bush Sr., the dad. And my thought is when I get these, is I'm like, oh, you know, and this one asked for like, oh, he likes my books and will you sign a copy? And I thought, this has to be fake because when I used to work at the Senate Judiciary Committee when I was 18 years old as an intern, we used to take the senator's pen signing machine and the stationery for the Judiciary Committee, and I'd write to my friends and tell them they were being deported. You know, like I'd be like,
you do
and I live in Miami, right? It works there, baby, right? That works, and so I thought this is totally fake. So I called the office up and I'm like, listen, someone there is using the machine. And they go, oh, you got the president's letter. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's so bored right now if he's writing to me. And
that is a little shocking.
It's a little shocking. No, it's not a little. It's a lot shocking.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying that a president is just writing any author saying.
And then you realize, like, what do they have to do, right? And
well, I would think a lot.
Here's the thing. When you leave the presidency, you know what the first thing you do is? They ask you to plan your own funeral. That's
that
what you
right?
do. The first thing you do when you leave the White House,
that's kind of a downer.
And that's exactly like goodbye and plan for your death. Because basically you imagine for a moment in all of our lives here, imagine that you knew you peaked, that everything you did is going to pale to what this one moment you had in your life. And that's what it is to be a former president. So I became obsessed. And I said to Bush, I said, can I come see what your life is like? And he was like, why don't you come to Houston for the week? I went up to Clinton's office in Harlem.
What?
I wrote a whole book on what it's like to be a former president because I was obsessed with this idea. And the funniest part is I then got invited to – during W's administration, they invited me to this private lunch at the White House. And Barbara Bush was there and I remember going in – and this was not in like the downstairs. It was like in the residence upstairs where you can't go unless you're invited privately. There's no Secret Service up there. It's president
wow. –
you know, it's family only and friends only. And I go to this tiny little dining room. There can't be like, 15 of us around the table. And of course, I'm like, where do I sit? And there's a little placard right on my plate that says, Mr. Meltzer, the White House. And my first thought is,
I'm stealing that
like nobody's business. And then Barbara Bush leans over to me and she's like, all the novices, they try to steal their placard. And I'm like, oh, yes, all the novices. Oh. And then quickly I'm like, look, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And then I totally stole that thing faster. I stole that thing faster than anyone in the history of stealing.
Do you think she was trying to talk you out of it or she was taunting you into
it? The thing was, when it was gone, she looked at me. She was like, I know you took it. You know, she's like, I'm dumb. I'm not stupid. You know, she knows. She's smarter than anyone. So
it says on your Wikipedia page, Brad, and tell me if this is true. Because I can't verify it otherwise.
No, trust it. It's on the internet.
You were part of the entertainment for First Lady, former First Lady Barbara Bush's 90th birthday?
Is that crazy? So here's the thing. So Barbara Bush's people call me up and they're like,
tap dance?
Right. And you would think, right? What does a bald Jewish kid do, right? And they say to me, we're going to have four authors come and entertain at Barbara. It was to raise money for literacy. Okay. That's what it was all about. It was Democrats and Republicans all come together, no politics about it. She wants to take her 90th birthday and raise money for literacy. She's going to have four authors entertain. And I'm like, oh my gosh, who'd you get? And she's like, dummy, you. And I was like, okay.
You thought she was calling you just to chat about
I literally
it?
Was just like, you know, taunt me that I'm not picked, you know? Right. I've always picked. But the funniest thing was is we once went – when I did one of the events with the Bushes for literacy, and they have everyone. They have, you know, John Grisham. They have, you name it. They've had Patterson, everybody. So the author who's speaking before me – I'm speaking – it's myself, another author, and there's a guy, James Bradley, who did Flyboys, the famous movie Flyboys, and Flags of Our Fathers. And the author in front of us, in front of the president – he literally passes out on stage.
Sweet.
Now, here's the moment, right? So he starts falling.
Right.
And now this is the moment where you find out in your life, are you made of like gumption or are you made of like Jell-O? And
are
are you a hero or not? James Bradley, who wrote Flags of Our Fathers, jumps up onto the stage and catches the man before he hits the ground.
Hero.
I am next to Barbara Bush. I am next to Barbara Bush. And Barbara Bush looks at me and goes, why don't you go get some help? And I'm like, and I'm like, my mouth is still open. And I go, I'll get the Secret Service, ma'am. Don't worry.
Brad Meltzer is our guest. The book is out now called The House of Secrets. More in a moment right after this on K-Rock.
I feel like when it's just us, the moments with are funny.
Yeah.
But when we bring in an author who happens to also be incredibly intelligent, he works with
smart
the NSA
guy,
and the CIA and everybody else, I feel like maybe playing moments with for him is sort of cruel.
I think if someone takes themselves seriously and has like that kind of posh background, like they get judgmental. Like I'm the first in my family to go to college at a 4-year school. Like my parents were always like, if you get C's, they're better than me, Brad. That was like the pep talk in my house. And like
that's
that.
A hell of a pep
talk. So I had a very, you know, like that was the best pep talk because it was like, and so I never ever, like even when I'm in those moments, like when I met George Bush for the first time, and this is H.W. the dad, you think everyone's so serious. He spent the first 5 minutes of our time together trying to convince my wife that he invented the phrase, you to man. And I'm like,
that's just that's not true.
First of all, that's an A plus joke. That's an A plus joke. And my wife is like, Brad, do you know that he invented the phrase "you to man"? I'm like, no, he didn't. He's lying to your face. And Barbara Bush is like, oh, George, leave the poor woman alone.
That's
and I'm like,
magic.
What episode of Laughing are we on? It was fantastic.
That's
and
crazy.
People like you, you'd be surprised. Like people love to play around. They really do.
This is the voice of best-selling author Brad Meltzer here on The Kevin DeBean Show. House of Secrets is his current book. It is, Kevin says, the first 11 chapters are fantastic.
So far, and I'm still reading it.
Right? You could
That's the blurb I want from you, by the way. I'm still reading it. Like, that's going to be the best blurb.
Brad, I also wanted to mention, just because I'm so fascinated, with we talked about the comic books. We talked about the 11 million books you've already sold. You've also written so many children's books, including biographies for kids of Abraham Lincoln, Rosa Parks, Jackie Robinson, Martin Luther King, on and on and on and on and on. It's crazy. Are those well received by kids? Do kids care about Rosa Parks and Jackie Robinson?
Well, that was the issue for me. Is I finally had kids, and I was tired of my kids looking at reality TV show stars and loudmouth athletes and thinking that that's a hero. And I was like, because of the History Channel TV show I do, because of the thrillers I write, I'm like, I have so many better heroes for them. So if I tell my daughter that Amelia Earhart flew across the Atlantic Ocean, my daughter's like, big deal, Dad. Everyone does, right? Everyone's got a plane
right,
now.
That makes sense.
But if I tell her, and this is a true story, that when Amelia Earhart was 7 years old, she built a homemade roller coaster in her backyard. She took a wooden crate, put roller skating wheels on the bottom, shoved it to the roof of her tool shed, came careening down two giant 2x4s, crashes, tumbles through the air. And that's the first moment Amelia Earhart flew. She said it's the first moment her stomach bottomed out from under her. And she gets up
Why
and is like,
why can't I find that on YouTube?
You can find it, right? And look on Wikipedia, it's there. And so, and basically, if I show that to my daughter says, Dad, she's bold and she's daring and she's fun. And now Amelia Earhart's alive again. So
oh,
we did.
That's great.
So that's what we did. We show you not just when they're famous, but when they're kids. So you see Abraham Lincoln when he's 10, and we did Rosa Parks, Jackie Robinson, Albert Einstein. I even did I Am Lucille Ball because I wanted my daughter to have a female entertainment hero who isn't just famous for being thin and pretty. I was like, Lucy doesn't just stand for the idea that it's okay to be different. She stands for the idea it's fantastic to be different. And we did Helen Keller, and I put we actually made the pages of the book, when she goes blind, they go perfectly black. And it says, here's how I see the world. cover your eyes. Here's how I hear the world. And when she learns how to read, we put real Braille into I Am Helen Keller, and it says, feel these dots? My name's Helen. What's your name? And on the opposite page is a real Braille alphabet. And so I love that we get to do these books. We did I Am Martin Luther King Jr. In September, we do I Am George Washington and I Am Jane Goodall. And to me, it's not about, hey, we want to sell you a book. It's to help you build a library of real heroes for your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and nephews.
I love you, Brad Meltzer.
I do, too.
That was, worth it.
No, but that's the thing. I can tell you like that. I'm an idiot to do these books. I should write another thriller. They pay me far more. But these books are my heart in book form. And I was like – and I watch kids now. So we are now coming up on –
What do you mean you watch kids now?
I watch kids, right? That's the quote. There's the bull quote. But I watch these kids now. Kids now send me letters and pictures of themselves dressed as for Halloween. I get a letter this year that came and says, this is the first year my daughter didn't go as a princess. Thanks to your book, she won as Amelia Earhart. And I'm not talking one girl. I'm talking dozens of families dressed up from our
hero
books.
Really wonderful, Brad.
So it's super really
it's
fun to do.
All right. We're almost out of time, and I'm going to ask you one final question that I hope will tie into House of Secrets. You have a dictator story for us.
Oh, yeah. This is fun. So when I'm researching House of Secrets, I go to this military intelligence officer and I say to him, where does the United States get its best intelligence? Where's it come from? And he told me, this is a true story, and you have to play, we'll play Guess the Dictator. That's a good game. And he said, years ago, this is true, a dictator who hated the United States, what no one knew was that this dictator was actually, through one of his top lieutenants, secretly working for the U.S. He was a spy for America and nobody knew it. And I was like, well, why'd he do it? And he said, for the most logical reason of all, for family. He had a sick kid who needed the kind of medical care that only the U.S. could provide.
No kidding.
So we gave medical care. He gave us information on terrorist weapons. And you're going to get to that part of the book. And I'm telling you, Kevin, you're going to go, oh, that's a cool thing. I didn't make it up. It happened in real life. And so I put that in the thriller. And so when you're reading, I love that you fill it in.
Donald Trump.
Yeah. That's it. You want
Is that him? The dictator?
The dictator. Yes. Well done. Okay. Wait, can I tell you my kind of bunk board story?
Wait, can we guess who the dictator is?
You only know, first of all,
is it Kim Jong Il?
You can only name, all of us can only name three dictators, right?
Right.
So it's not the three. Pinochet.
Nice one, four. Well done.
Yeah. Who did you say, Ellie? Who did you
say? Pinochet.
Oh. I was going to say Kim Jong Il was first.
No
way. Castro was second, my second guess.
Yep, that's a good high one.
You're not going to tell us?
I can't tell because he's still alive. They'll kill him.
Listen,
you can't tell him because he's still alive and they'll kill him.
They'll
that's the
kill
kind
him.
Of information that Brad has.
That's
it's
it.
Putin.
All right, we're running out of time. Quick,
Kennebunkport.
So for her 90th birthday, they invite me to Kennebunkport for Barbara Bush's 90th birthday. And we're sitting there. And at one point, it's me, George Bush, Barbara Bush, my wife, W, Laura, Jeb Bush is there. The Bush twins are in between these two rooms. My wife looks at me. She says, at what point in your life did you become Forrest Gump? Right? And now – so my wife basically is – you know, she basically is – she sees – she's not – she's still mad about the Iraq war. She's not talking to W. And then she basically bumps into this guy who kind of accidentally hits her. My wife turns around. When someone hits you hard, you kind of turn around ready to throw a punch. My wife turns around. She is nose to nose with W. And I'm like, this is going to be the greatest fist fight of all time.
Oh, you thought
and
your
so
wife
I
was
like,
going to punch the
I
president?
I thought my wife – I don't know what she was going to do. But when you back up and hit my wife that hard accidentally, my wife could accidentally throw a punch. I will say that.
Right?
USA!
So she took a swing.
Yeah, she took no swings, which but I did think a swung was going to happen.
Did she say, your dad is the man?
What she said was, your dad is the man. That is the best callback, by the way, Allie. Super, super impressed with
thank
that.
Thank you.
Well, listen, this has been the most fun ever, Brad. Thank you so much
ever.
For
in all of history, this was the fun.
In all of history. I really do think this might be the most fun hour ever. But we appreciate your time so much. House of Secrets is the book. It's available everywhere now. Please buy it. Come back and see us anytime you're in town, sir.
Love you guys. Much appreciated.
Bye-bye.
You are listening to Kevin and Bean. Ralph Garman here with Allie McKay and Beer Mug. Doing the Showbiz Beats live, and also after the top of the hour, if you are a Trekker, if you dig Star Trek, this is an amazing opportunity for you. We're doing an advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond. It's going to be happening July 20th at the AMC Burbank.
Yay!
We're going to be giving away passes for that just after the top of the hour in a contest that will test your knowledge of the creatures, the creepy crawlies, the slimies, the furries from Star Trek. And let's focus on the original series because, of course, the J.J. Abrams new film
Star Trek Beyond features Kirk and Spock and Uhura and Chekhov and all of our favorites from the original series. So all the creatures from Star Trek, if you're familiar with those, if you're well-versed in trivia regarding the TV series Star Trek, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to have a contest just after the top of the hour. You win passes to Star Trek Beyond, and you will qualify to win the grand prize, a trip to San Diego to watch Star Trek Beyond at the first ever outdoor IMAX premiere event. It's going to be quite the party. So if you'd like to go, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play that game just after the top of the hour. Meanwhile, it is July 1st. Happy July, everyone.
Woo!
As I mentioned earlier, it means two things to me. First of all, the 1966 Batman movie is finally available on Netflix for the first time.
Yes.
So you can watch the hell out of that. Some days, you just can't get rid of a bomb. Remember that? Batman's running around on the pier with a bomb in his hands?
Yeah.
You don't remember. It's okay. Awesome. And he's got that exploding shark on his leg. That shark was pulling my leg. It must be the Joker.
What's happening, really?
You don't know, man.
I don't.
But July 1st also means new Blink music.
Woo!
Brand new album, California, drops today. Brand new Blink 182. First new album in like 5 years. It's so fun.
It's so good.
Such good summertime music. I thought if you didn't hear, if you haven't heard it, we play some clips in the Showbiz Beat for you. This first track you probably heard here on K-Rock, it's called Bored to Death. Ah, so good. How good were they at Weenie Rose, by the way?
Amazing. Awesome.
When that stage turned around and it was them... I mean, I knew it was going to be them, and I still was excited.
Everybody's head exploded.
Yeah.
Here's another track from the new album, California, by Blink-182. It's called Built This Pool. I want to see some naked dudes. That's why I built this pool.
Is that really it?
Yeah. That's not a clip. That's the entire track.
That's the whole song. And I think Mark Hoppus speaks for all of us when he says that he wants to see some naked dudes. Oh,
right?
Agreed.
Right?
Summer. Let's do this.
Cynical. Another track off of California. We're playing tracks from the new Blink-182 album, California, this morning. San Diego.
Sleep, 'cause what if I dream of going back to San Diego? We bought a one-way ticket so we can go see The Cure and listen to our favorite songs in the parking lot. Think of every person I am.
That song could make the 405 fun. If you're actually heading down to San Diego playing that song, you don't mind being stuck in traffic.
I want to go to Fresno and listen to that song. I'll
go
anywhere.
It's called San Diego. Why would you go to
because
Fresno?
Because that's what I'm saying.
Why don't you wait for a song called Fresno?
Because that's how good it is. I could drive to a city that it isn't about, like Fresno. Let me just live in Matt Skiba's world for a minute.
We say Fresno, you say Fres yes, right?
See, now you get it.
And lastly, Bohemian Rhapsody. Great new music from Blink-182. California is available today. Just dropped, so we wanted to play you some highlights from that album. As I mentioned, coming up the top of the hour, we're doing a contest for all you Trekkers out there who want to see Star Trek Beyond early at our special advanced screening. We still have some lines open if you want to try to get through. 1-800-520-1067. If you know the creatures of Star Trek. In the meanwhile, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Deborah Harry, 71 years old today. Dan Aykroyd is 64. Love me some Dan Aykroyd. Blues Brothers, still one of my favorite films of all time. Ghostbusters. Think what the guy's done. Always funny.
Do you remember him in Behind the Candelabra?
Oh, the Liberace story. Yeah, he was terrific in that. Pamela Anderson is 49 years old today. Missy Elliott turns 45. Liv Tyler is 39. And Hillary Burton celebrates her 34th birthday today. She's a lovely actress and also the luckiest woman in the world.
Yeah, she is.
She wakes up next to Jeffrey Dean Morgan every day. Ugh, if only, right?
You love him so much.
I love him so much. I'm Ralph Garvin, and I walk the Showbiz Beat. 9:05 on the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7. On July 22nd, Star Trek Beyond will be in theaters everywhere. However, We want to give you some tickets to the very special K-Rock advanced screening of Star Trek Beyond that's going to be at the AMC Burbank Theater on July 20th, plus one lucky winner. At the end of this game, we're going to pull out the grand prize winner. One lucky winner will go to San Diego to watch Star Trek Beyond at the first ever outdoor IMAX premiere event. You get a trip to San Diego. You get to watch the movie on the big IMAX screen outdoors, and the San Diego Symphony Orchestra will be playing the music live along with picture. It's going to be an incredible evening for Star Trek fans. And I wanted to make sure real Star Trek fans went, so we've been doing games all week long about Star Trek trivia. This game is about the creatures that populated the original Star Trek TV series, and in one case, maybe one of the movies. I will give you a couple clues, an audio clue, and I will give you a description and what episode it's from, and then you have to identify what creature we're talking about in the Star Trek Creature Feature.
Yeah, if you're a Star Trek fan and you're wondering what's some sexy scene in IMAX, yeah, Ralph's gonna ask you to name a crazy creature, and that's all you have to do. Yeah, it's Star Trek Creature Feature. 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 It's Star Trek Creature Feature.
Understood. Star Trek Creature Feature.
This is called what?
I think Star Trek Creature Feature.
Okay.
I got to tell you, Muggs, between this and Kirkoff earlier in the week,
I mean,
doing some strong work. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah!
All right, kids love it. Let's see who's first up. Dwayne in Corona, I believe, is on line one. Dwayne?
Morning, boys.
Good morning, sir. I will read you a brief description and then play you a little piece of audio regarding the creature, and you need to identify it, okay? This creature was featured in an episode called Arena, where Kirk was forced to battle it to the death. It is a reptile/humanoid creature. Here's a clip of Kirk talking about it.
No. No, I won't kill you. Maybe you thought you were protecting yourself when you attacked the outpost. No, I won't kill him. Do you hear?
I won't kill him. What creature are we talking about, Dwayne?
That was that Gorn captain.
The Gorn! The Gorn, absolutely. You are going to the advanced screening. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, okay?
He's on hold.
Oh, he's on hold already, okay. Steve in Sun Valley is up next. Let's talk to Steve. Steve?
Yep, I'm on.
All right, here is your creature from the Star Trek Creature Feature. This episode is called The Man Trap, and this creature is killing crewmen of the Enterprise.
I know it.
And it's able to change its shape as well.
I know it.
In fact, Dr. McCoy thinks it's his old girlfriend. Here's a clip.
Hold on.
It's killing the captain's suit, quick!
I won't shoot Nancy.
This is not Nancy. If she were Nancy, could she take this?
Spock's giving it to Nancy in that scene.
The Salt Vampire.
Well done, sir. Steve, hold on. You're going to go to the screening and maybe San Diego. We'll find out. Let's go to Gary in Maywood.
It's Star Trek Creature Feature.
Gary?
Hey. How's it going?
Good. This creature's from an episode called Devil in the Dark. This creature has been killing miners with acid while protecting these silicon nodules it leaves behind. Here is Spock describing...
Hold on, Gary.
Spock describing it.
I know it.
We are dealing with a silicon creature of the deep rocks, capable of moving through solid rock as easily as we move through the air. This creature's body secretes an extremely powerful corrosive.
Yeah. What is it?
Silicon-based life form called the Horta.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
At least you broke it down for us. Hold on, Gary. You are going to the screening as well, and maybe San Diego. These people know their creatures.
We are three for three.
This is
Star Trek Creature Feature.
Feature right here. What do we got? Kevin? Kevin, is that what we're talking
about? This isn't going to go well.
Kevin, why do you say that?
His name's Kevin.
Oh, how dare you?
I'm just kidding. Kevin, you're going to be great.
How dare you? Kevin, I think you'll be all right because this is probably the easiest of the questions. These are a small, furry, soft, gentle creatures. And here is Spock. Here's Spock talking about the effect they have on people.
The most curious creature, Captain. Its trilling seems to have a tranquilizing effect on the human nervous system. Fortunately, of course, I am immune to its...
No, he's not. It affects Vulcans, too.
Oh, no.
What's the creature there, sir?
Come on, it's the trouble with Tribbles.
It's the Tribbles, you're right. We're 4 for 4, you're all
sorry,
going.
Sorry, Kevin, I take it back. You were great.
Well, we had to give him a softball, too, because he was a Kevin. You're all going to the screening. We've got one pair of tickets left. Let's see if Dean can close us out and keep us perfect on the day. Dean?
Yeah, I could have hit all the other ones out of the park, and now I'm going to get the hard fastball.
No, I don't know, sir. I mean, if you're a Star Trek fan, you should be able to get this one. It's from an episode called A Private Little War, where Bones and Kirk go down to a planet that is fairly primitive to see an old friend of Kirk's. That's when he gets attacked and bitten by a creature that has incredibly powerful poison toxin.
Are you hell people? Do you know a hunter named Tyree? Attacked him. He's James Kirk. He's a friend of Tyree's. Blast it, do something. He's dying. He's dying, for God's sakes.
You know what bit Kirk on that planet?
The Mugatu.
The Mugatu is correct.
Wow.
5 for 5. Okay. Everyone who called in is going to the screening of Star Trek Beyond, our advanced screening on July 20th at the AMC Burbank. And one lucky winner from this week, maybe one of the 5 we got this morning, maybe one from earlier in the week, is going to San Diego to see the big, big event, the outdoor IMAX screening of Star Trek Beyond with the Philharmonic Orchestra accompanying it. Allie McKay, who's the winner?
The winner is Desiree Guzekta.
Desiree!
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 Guzekta!
A girl is going. How cool is that?
It's the coolest.
Right?
Right?
That is the Star Trek Creature Feature.
It's Star Trek Creature Feature.
All right, so we've got a crisis situation here, and I'm glad to say that our lines are filled with people who are going to help us decide this once and for all. I don't know why it came out of the blue last week, Allie, but I believe it was you who introduced the topic in the room off the air.
Yeah, I was actually eating string cheese, and I was just peeling it as humans, correct humans, Americans, I'll just say that, do. Just peeling into strips, eating the string
cheese. In other words, treating string cheese like the product that it is, which is string
exactly,
cheese.
Exactly, exactly, okay. Bean. Thank you for clearing that up. And I believe it was Ralph. He's like, what are you, a 3-year-old? Just eat the cheese.
Yeah, just eat it. I'm a just eat the cheese person. Just put it in your mouth and eat it.
No, you're not.
No,
I
why?
You're not really
why
saying
would
that
you
seriously.
Then,
just eat
then
it.
It's mozzarella cheese. There's no fun in that.
How much
string
fun?
Cheese, you
how much
peel
fun
it.
Do
you
string get
it.
Peeling cheese.
A lot of That's fun.
Really?
Yes.
First of all, you get a lot
Define
more.
Define fun.
Well, you get a lot more cheese out of your string cheese if you peel it, if you eat it that way
you
rather
don't
than just
get more cheese.
It's actually the same amount.
It's the same amount, Bean.
But it seems like more. Okay,
it does seem like more.
It seems like more because
agree.
You get way more mouthfuls of cheese.
Agree.
And
just eat the cheese.
No.
Just eat it.
No, because then you're
whatever
like
food
with the cheese when you should be meow, meow, peeling it.
So, Allie, it sounds to me like you and I, and as you said, all heroic Americans are
yes.
are peelers.
Yes.
And Kevin and Ralph then would be biters.
That's why it's string cheese. It's not mozzarella cheese. It's string cheese.
I understand that.
Made to be strung.
Right.
Stringed.
But how many strings do you need to pull off of that cheese before you finish off
and
that?
And that's a fun game, Kevin.
It's
thanks
not a
for
fun
asking.
Game. Define fun.
You could see how thin you could peel it.
I peel as many strings as possible.
Yes, me too.
I like to make like 60 strings off of my cheese.
Yes.
You guys are pathetic.
Because
you should do something that's actually fun.
It is fun and it's delicious. And it's using the product for the use that it was intended for. So you're an animal.
Yes.
If you just bite into string cheese, you are an animal.
And Ralph started yelling so loud and he got so angry and then I dropped it. I dropped it on the ground.
You did drop your cheese.
And Kevin laughed harder.
Yes, because you know what you should have done? You should have just eaten the cheese. Then you wouldn't have dropped it.
Give me the advantages to eating it the wrong way. Are you in some sort of hurry?
Yes, I'm always in a hurry. Always, yes.
So is it just,
of course.
I'm just going to shove as much food into my mouth as possible?
And then keep moving. That's how you live life. You take whatever food is in front of you, you shove it in your face, and you keep you walk on.
Walk.
That's what you should walk on.
Look, I forget food, so when I have it, I got to put it in there right away.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Wow. Let's do a Kevin and Bean scientific survey and figure this out, shall we?
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
The lines are filled. We had them call before we discussed the topic, so there's no bias. When the callers who are on hold dialed in, they did not know what the topic was going to be. So we're going to be getting their first opinion as they've heard the discussion.
All right, but before we go to the calls, none of this BS leading question that you do being like, oh, are you a right-thinking American? That's BS.
Well, no, they've heard the discussion. It doesn't matter how it's framed. They know that the question they're going to be asked is, are they a peeler or are they a biter?
Okay? Eat the cheese.
Just peel the cheese back and enjoy the cheese and use the cheese the way the cheese was intended
fun.
To be because it came from God. All right.
Cheese is fun.
Let's start with Molly. She gets one vote. Hey, before we talk to Molly, though, what is the deal? So is it the first to three, right? First to three determines for the world whether it's okay to bite cheese or not, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
No, to bite string cheese, right?
String cheese. Okay. Hi, Matthew. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning.
All right, string cheese, what say you, sir?
I would have to say I am a biter.
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 I go all in, yeah.
Biter. That's how you do it. Yeah. You got other important things to do. You don't want to spend all day eating your string cheese. Having fun.
Matthew, I'm sad that you're listening to our show. I didn't realize we had people like you out there. Makes me a little disappointed, but thank you for the call. We will put down one vote for biter. Let's try Jose up next in Pomona, please.
All right, Jose, hi.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Biter, stringer.
Biter or peeler?
Peeler.
Peeler. And Kevin is exactly what's wrong with America.
Thank you.
I agree.
You don't have to shove every piece of food down your throat. Just enjoy it a little bit.
No.
Right?
I got stuff to do.
String cheese and peel it or else the terrorists win.
Yes, exactly. And John McCain is not a hero, according to Kevin, right? Is that right, Jose?
All right.
That's right, Kevin.
Okay. Hold on. Explain to me how the terrorists win.
Never mind. We got to move on.
All right. We got to move
on. We're very busy. All right. So we're one to one right now in the scientific survey. Let's see what Curtis has to say. He's in Simi Valley. He's up next on line four.
Hey, Curtis.
Hey, guys.
Help us.
I'm gonna go with you gotta string it. You gotta
string
pull it apart.
Curtis,
what's
I have
happening?
Loved you for a while.
Yeah.
Well,
you
have to do that. I mean, you don't pour your fondue cheese on your bread. You
right?
Into the fondue.
Right?
So you gotta string the string cheese.
There is a right way and a wrong way with all kinds of cheeses, Curtis, and I'm glad you recognize that.
You're very smart man.
Thank you, Curtis.
Shut up, all of
very
you.
Very smart. Just you're a good man, Curtis. Cheese. You've won a new car. Congratulations. Thank you.
All right. So it's 2-1.
2-1. Let's see.
Who
what...
better than someone named after cheese?
That's right. She is called Bree. Hey, Bree from Burbank. How are you, my dear?
Hey, good morning. Okay,
when you woke up, before you say anything, when you woke up this morning, you didn't realize that you were going to be casting a vote that could change the way America lives.
I didn't. Look at me now.
Okay.
First of all, Kevin and Matthew, you guys are crazy. It's string cheese. If you want cube cheese, you buy cubes of cheese. But if you're eating string cheese, you peel it.
Obviously.
That's what it's for.
Is peeling string cheese your idea of fun?
It's an experience.
It's an experience,
Brie.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Right. I'm sorry you missed out.
Brie, you are awesome, and you are right, and you are a great American, and we thank you for calling the Scientific Survey.
That was Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, 9:36 on the world-famous K-Rock, KROQ-FM. 106.7, Pasadena, Los Angeles. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a fun couple weeks. Kevin and Bean have been on vacation, but we've been here. Myself, Ralph Garman, Allie McKay, Beer Mug, Chip, David King of Mexico, everybody who pitched in. Thanks so much. It's been a fun week.
It was.
2 weeks, rather, that we've been doing this. Trying to keep the show afloat while the boys were off enjoying themselves. On Tuesday, however, the 5th of July, the band is back together again. Kevin and Bean will be back. We'll be doing all new live Kevin and Bean shows starting on Tuesday. So thanks to everyone who stuck by us and hung around and listened to our shenanigans. We appreciate it. Last Showbiz beat of the week before the big holiday weekend. And we did What's Good earlier in the show today. We were talking about the Lakers' new center, Timofey Mozgov. He got a four-year deal worth $64 million. Now, let's ignore the fact that he turns 30 this month, and he was second only to Jahlil Okafor in Philly as the worst center in the NBA last year. Let's forget all that.
Okay.
Allie McKay brought up an excellent point, is that Timofey Mozgov, while in Cleveland, did some local television commercials.
Some of the best stuff I've ever seen.
And I was not familiar with it, so we went on YouTube and we hunted one down. It's
You think it's a sketch.
It looks fake. Totally fake.
But it's for real.
Yeah.
Here is the audio of Mozgov's commercial for some restaurant. It's like a beer and burger joint or something. And he is their spokesperson, and there's a table full of the competitor's food in front of him that he just clears the table, just wipes it to the ground. Here is his local commercial.
Get this weak stock out of here. I'm hungry for the Brew Garden. Fabulous food, fine spirits, fantastic people. My home away from home, the Brew Garden.
But the best is he kind of glances over to the right to see if the commercial's done. It's phenomenal.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy good.
So good.
Get that weak stuff out of here. I ain't going to the Brew Garden. Great people.
Play it again. Play it one more time for me, Mike. Because I can't.
Get this weak stuff out of here. I'm hungry for the Brew Garden. Fabulous food, fine spirits, fantastic people. My home away from home, the Brew Garden.
Honestly.
Fabulous food.
It's like if Kevin was Russian. Right?
Fabulous food. Get this weak stuff out of here.
That's going to be my new catchphrase. Whenever something goes bad on the show, I'm going to say, get this weak stuff out of here. Give me that much.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
Yeah. Get this weak stuff out of here. So look, the Lakers are spending a tremendous amount of money, but we get him, hopefully, for something.
Like
through local commercials for Pink's hot dogs or something.
Come on, Pink's, get on
it. Get these weak hot dogs out of here. Give me Pink's hot dogs every my home away from home.
Get these weak dogs out of here.
Get these weak burgers out of here.
I
go to more meaty meat burger.
Is that place still around? Mo Better Meaty Meat Burger?
I don't know.
Was
that a place?
That.
It was right around the corner
what?
From here.
From here?
Yes.
Oh, come on, there's a new location.
Oh. Dave's all caught up. Dave, run in here quick. We need your input. Run into the studio. Because
I'm shocked that Beer Mug had no idea it existed.
How did you know
that's
that
concerning.
Mo Better Meaty Meat Burger wasn't a thing?
Yeah, there's a new location.
Where's the new one?
Oh, shoot. I think it's on La Brea.
It used to be right around the corner.
It used to be
right
here, but now it's Walgreens. it was on Pico and Fairfax, and now it's on La Brea.
It's at
and
901 South La Brea.
Boom!
Go. Let's go.
Mo Better Meaty Meat Burgers.
Get this weak stuff out of here. I'm going to Mo Better Meaty Meat Burgers. My home away from home. Great people, fabulous food, and no weak stuff.
No.
Yeah.
I am Timothy Mozgov.
And we posted the Mozgov video on all our socials if you want to check it out.
All right. So go to follow us at Kevin and Bean or at K-Rock or on the Facebook page or whatever. But thank you, Dave. Thanks for that Mo Better Meaty Meat Burger update.
Mo Better Showbiz.
I'm slipping. I can't believe I didn't know.
Yeah,
you of all
upsetting.
People should be eating Mo Better Meaty Meat Burgers.
All right. Get this weak stuff out of here.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
That's right. Yeah. Also in the show business news, another shout out to our friend Ralphie May. Very, very funny comedian, all around good guy. But now he's really gone above and beyond the call of duty. He was in an airport in Spokane, Washington, when he heard a mother screaming. And it turned out her toddler was choking to death. Ralphie May jumped into action and did the Heimlich on the kid, and paramedics confirmed saved his life. That's remarkable. And good for Ralphie May for doing that.
A lot of people get real scared of lawsuits and whatnot, thinking if they help somebody, something bad could happen.
Ralphie May doesn't get scared about anything.
No.
He was so stoned, probably. Didn't even give a rat's ass. But I can't... And look, to take nothing away from his amazing achievement, which was remarkable, but I cannot help but get a mental picture in my head of Ralphie May's body surrounding a toddler trying to squeeze food out of its throat. I mean, it's a little disturbing, a little frankly. But it all had a good outcome, so
yes,
we'll forgive that mental image that I've just put in your head now that you too will remember forever.
I had a worse image.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't.
Okay.
Don't be that person.
Nope.
This is an interesting idea for a TV series. You remember the movie called The First Wives Club?
Yes. With, with Goldie Hawn.
I'm going to see how well you remember
Goldie
it.
Hawn.
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
It was Goldie Hawn, Bette Midler, and Diane Keaton.
Yes.
Played the wives of a rich man who had traded them in after a certain age and upgraded to a younger, hotter model.
Yes.
And so these women band together and they plot revenge against their husbands, whose only crime, really, is wanting to bone hotter chicks. What? Who can blame them for that?
I mean,
why do they have to pay a price because they got trophy wives and cast aside the old ones? Why is that a bad thing?
I think you just said it.
I didn't hear it.
Sentence
I didn't hear
you
it.
Just
I,
said.
I listened to my
like
words. I didn't hear
go.
The bad stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're going to do a TV series based on that movie. It will star Vanessa Lachey, Allison Hannigan, and Megan Hilty have been cast. Which is hilarious because in the movie, these were all older women who got passed over by their husbands. Now, this is Hollywood. This is the state
these
of Hollywood.
Women in their 30s.
The older women that men cast aside are played by smoking hot women in their
30s.
It's the whole point of the story now makes no sense because those women were bitter because they had been cast aside by men who didn't care about them and went for younger, hotter women. These are younger, hotter women.
Yeah, what are they going to be, fetuses?
Right. These guys are going to date toddlers? Ralphie May's going to come out and make them blow sandwiches out of their throats.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
Get this weak stuff out of here. That's what I say. All right, look, it's a long weekend's coming
let's
up.
We've
tortured you long enough. Thanks so much for tuning in for the past couple of weeks while Kevin and Bean have been gone. We've had a great time. We will see you on Tuesday with a brand new Kevin and Bean show. Cannot wait to have the boys back and tell them all this stuff's been going on. And then I'm going to say to Kevin,
come on, Mom! Then you're going to say to Kevin,
get this weak stuff out of
that's
here.
That's right.
Well done.
Get this weak stuff out of here. Hey, don't forget on your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. It is a random act of helpfulness from our good friends at the SoCal Helpful Honda Dealerships. Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness everywhere, and they're doing it with us. It was, we all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m., so I want to appreciate them and their fine work. Today's celebrity birthdays, Deborah Harry's 71 years old. Dan Aykroyd turned 64. Someone reminded me, Dragnet. Dragnet's another good Aykroyd movie. Dr. Detroit, we were talking about great Aykroyd movies.
And he was
Dr. Detroit.
Funhouse. Funhouse with Chevy Chase.
Yeah, that was awful.
That was a
god-awful film.
I love that. He played the judge?
Oh, he's so awful.
Don't bogart.
We're talking Dan Aykroyd.
Okay.
Pamela Anderson's 49 years old today. Missy Elliott turns 45. Liv Tyler's 39. And Hillary Burton, 34 years old today. All right, now we can say goodbye. Everybody have a great 4th of July holiday weekend. Stay safe out there. We'll see you back here Tuesday morning with Kevin and Bean.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
You are not going to like what happens next.
Roll another one.
I get it.
Just like the other one.
Allie has no friends.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Nasty ass bitch.
And I need another hit.
An emergency intervention situation.
Roll another one.
What would we do, baby, without us?
Just like the other one.
You're being quite rude.
This one seems to be about to end.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a great story.
I don't have another cent.
What neat humor. What neat humor.
Where do you want it?
In the face!
Yeah!
Just pass it around! But don't hold on to join my friend!
Plenty of lights, everyone! This is not a drill!
Pass it on down!
Do you remember the good times, Buggy Bear? Do you? You do? Good, good. I want you to keep them in your mind, Buggy Bear, because I've cancelled them. No more good times. The good times are all gone, Buggy Bear. That's right. They're all over.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Anyway, I'm out of here. About to go dodge the...
those potholes on Fairfax and the manhole covers and the plates they lay across. And anyway, I'm going to say goodnight, hang on to yourselves, and here are the monkeys.